You may be seated. Good morning and Merry Christmas to you all. My wife and I had a wonderful week down in Austin with her family. We got to hang out with our nieces and nephews, and it was just great to be with family. And I hope for you all that you were able to spend some time with your family or loved ones, and if not, I hope that you'll be able to get to see them soon. This morning, our text comes from Luke chapter 2. It's the text that we heard read for our gospel reading. I'm only going to be preaching on a portion of it, verses 22 through 35. Hear these words from this account, this wonderful text of the Christmas narrative. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, "Every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons." Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him in his arms and blessed the Lord and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles, and for the glory to your people Israel." And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your soul also, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Let us go in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would be with our hearts this morning as we listen to your word and hear this account in Luke chapter 2. Lord, I pray that for the meditation of our hearts, and I pray for the words of my mouth. And we pray this in the name of our rock and redeemer, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. When I was 6 years old, Thanksgiving did not turn out the way I thought it would. I was sitting in our garage, looking down the driveway, waiting for the arrival of my relatives. See, all my friends, their grandparents, their aunts, their uncles, their cousins, they were all pulling into the house, into their houses, and being received with hugs. But there was no sign of my relatives. I waited and waited and waited. I would look down the street to see if they were coming around the corner, yet no cars were coming towards us, and our driveway remained empty. I wondered, where were my cousins, my aunt, my uncles, my grandparents? Where were they? Did they get lost on the way to our house? My dad came out and sat next to me to break the news to me. Even though I don't know why my relatives couldn't be with us that Thanksgiving, they weren't going to be able to spend time with us that year. And I had waited all that time in the garage, keeping watch for my relatives, and no one was coming. I remember how sad and empty I felt, knowing that I would have to wait longer to see them. Something felt wrong about that. Something felt wrong having to wait to see my family. I imagine that for you, like for me, there are areas in our lives where you've been waiting and waiting and waiting. Maybe waiting for the circumstances of your life to change or waiting to feel differently about your life. Whatever it may be, it is in the midst of our waiting that it can feel like something's wrong, something's off, something's not right. Is my life always going to be this way? Am I always going to feel this way? What do I do with my present sorrow and pain as I wait? Yet, our passage today has something to say about our present waiting. in this life. Simeon was a man of faith who was waiting a long time for God to fulfill his promise to him and to Israel. And it was in the midst of this waiting that Simeon came to rest in knowing that his waiting was not in vain. Simeon comes to know that God keeps his promise and his waiting was not for nothing. So this morning, there's one thing I would like us to reflect upon as we consider this account in Luke's gospel, and it's this. God is faithful to us even in the midst of our waiting. God is faithful to us even in the midst of our waiting. You see, our present waiting can be filled with sadness, emptiness, and pain. But in the midst of these things, we can have hope and confidence knowing that our waiting is not in vain. It is not for nothing. And it's into this tension that we find ourselves as Simeon is waiting in the temple. Luke, in his gospel, presents all sorts of people who are waiting. He, from Zechariah and Elizabeth in chapter 1 to the shepherds in chapter 2 to Simeon and Anna in this account, the people of Israel had been waiting for God to act on his promises. Things had not been going well for Israel. They had been a conquered nation for over 500 years. First the Babylonians, then the Persians, then the Greeks, and now the Romans. And after this time, after the time of the prophets, God had not spoken to his people by his prophets for some 400 years. But yet they did not give up hope in God. The Messiah will come. It didn't depend on the political landscape. It didn't depend on the circumstances that they found themselves in. It is in the background of this waiting that we come to find Simeon as he's waiting for the promise of salvation to Israel to come. Now, nothing in Scripture happens by chance. God uses both his law and his spirit in this account to fulfill his promise to his servant Simeon and ultimately to the world. And he did this by bringing the baby Jesus and his parents to the temple. In verse 21, Mary and Joseph have Jesus circumcised as the law of God prescribed. Then, after the allotted time, they brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present and dedicate Jesus to the Lord. This was all needed for the purification that arose around Mary being unceremonially clean after the birth of Jesus. And they were to give an offering according to the law, and they gave this offering, and it was an offering of humble means. It was a pair of turtle doves and two young pigeons. This is a clear indication of the poverty into which Jesus was born, the humble state he was born into with Mary and Joseph. Now, in one sense, this scene may seem rather mundane. It doesn't have angels. It doesn't have stars or wise men traveling from far lands. Yet in these few verses, they allow us to glimpse into the depth of Mary and Joseph's faith. They were godly parents who wanted to do what God required of them in his law. Five times in the account that we heard, the full account of from the gospel that was read, Luke tells us that they did for their son according to the law five times. They did something for their son. But why did Joseph and Mary have to do these things for Jesus? I mean, the child that came from Mary's womb, he's not a sinner. And he is the incarnate sinless Son of God. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit and thus didn't inherit the guilt of Adam's sin. However, in receiving this sign of circumcision, in being presented and dedicated before the Lord, Jesus was being identified with his people so that he ultimately might redeem his people. In the epistle reading that we heard from Galatians, Paul says this, "When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of the woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law." So in obedience and faith to the law, Mary and Joseph went up to the temple with Jesus and were met by this man of faith. It is here at the temple that Simeon meets his Savior face to face and sees with his own eyes the light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to Israel. You see, Simeon had lived his whole life in hope of one expectation. Simeon had been promised by the Spirit of God that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Simeon had lived in joyful anticipation of that great day when the salvation and comfort of the Lord would come to him and come to Israel. You see, in many respects, Simeon, here in our account, personifies the faithful and expectant people of God. The people of God were to be faithful and expectant, waiting for God's promises to come about. If you look at verses 25 through 26 with me, I'll read them. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Simeon in this account is described as a righteous man, which means that he behaved rightly towards those, towards his neighbors and towards God. And it describes him as a devout man, which means he was one who was faithful to his religious duties and obligations. But the main point in this text is reveals to us that he was one who was waiting. He was waiting for the comfort of Israel to come to him and to his people. Simeon is one who had been waiting. This consolation of Israel is most certainly being referenced by Simeon from Isaiah 40. In Isaiah 40, the prophet Isaiah, speaking for God, promises that he will comfort his people by sending his Messiah to them. This is made clear in verse 26 as Simeon is promised by the Holy Spirit that not only would he see the comfort of Israel, but he would see the Lord's Messiah, the Lord's Christ. We are not told how long Simeon had to wait from when God made his promise to him to the presentation in the temple. But I think it's safe to assume that Simeon waited quite some time. And while Simeon waited, he remained devout and faithful to the Lord, not losing faith in the promise the Lord had made to Simeon. Simeon waited patiently with anticipation and expectation, living each day by faith. This is what it means to be a believer. It means waiting in faith for God to do what he has promised he would do. Even in the midst of our waiting for things to change, we are still called to live our lives before the Lord in holiness and truth. We're commanded to love God with all of our heart and soul and mind and to love our neighbors as ourselves. But that can be difficult, especially when we're waiting for things to change or when we're waiting for God's guidance in our life. And yet, in the midst of our waiting, we have not been left hopeless. We have been given a hope. Simeon's expectation and anticipation was not wishful thinking, but rather it was a genuine hope. His hope was anchored in someone. It was anchored in a person. It's not simply chance or fate. Simeon's hope and our hope in our waiting came in the form of an infant child born of a humble maidservant. This infant child, Jesus, is the fulfillment of all the promises that God made to his people and the promise he made to Simeon, that Simeon would not see death until he saw with his own eyes his Savior, Jesus Christ. And this account continues as Simeon finds himself in the temple. Look at verse 27 with me, and I'll read through 32. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law. He took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace and according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all your people, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel. You see, Simeon did not wait in vain every day he went to the temple to worship and pray. He waited with joyful expectation and anticipation at the coming of his Savior. The Spirit led Simeon that day into the temple as Joseph and Mary went to offer their offering for the Lord according to the law of the Lord. Can you imagine with me the joy that Simeon must have felt when he came face to face with his Savior? How he must have gloried in the fact that he held in his own arms the hope of the nations and the very promise that God had made to him and to his people of salvation. How he must have reveled in the faithfulness of God when he beheld the beauty of the child and the beauty of the promise that he came to see. That is why on that day when the Spirit led Simeon to the temple, when he saw the Savior with his own eyes, he broke out into praise. It is in this outburst of praise that Simeon gives us this ancient hymn. It's known in Latin as the Duc Deminis. And this Duc Deminis, along with three other hymns or canticles that you find in the first two chapters of Luke, they've been sung by the churches for ages, celebrating the fulfillment of God's promise in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So having seen his salvation, Simeon praises the Lord, saying, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace." Pulling from the prophet Isaiah, Simeon recognizes that this child that he holds in his arms is the very light to the world. In Christ, God has brought salvation to all the world. In the incarnate Son of God, salvation has come from God's people Israel, so that God might redeem all people and all nations to himself. This is what Simeon was marveling over as he sang this praise of his Savior. And after this, Simeon can now rest in knowing that the God's Messiah has come and salvation has come with him. And this should not be missed by us. We should not miss this point, that Simeon would not have lived long enough to see the death and resurrection of Christ. But he states with certainty as he holds that child in his arms that salvation is presently there with him. Although he would not see the death and resurrection of Christ with his own eyes, he saw salvation with his eyes as he held the child. Simeon can rest and go in peace knowing God has fulfilled his promise to Simeon and to the world according to his word. Simeon, who was a faithful servant of the Lord, was now discharged of his service in keeping watch day and night for the Lord's Christ. Simeon's waiting was not in vain, and neither is ours. I want to take us back to that 6-year-old boy waiting in the garage on Thanksgiving Day, because I think in many ways, we're all the 6-year-old on Thanksgiving, waiting for something to happen sooner than we had wanted, waiting for something we wished had come true sooner. I imagine for you all that you too are not much different from that little boy looking down the street waiting for his relatives to show up. You too are looking at your life and waiting for God to make something happen, waiting for God to rescue you from your circumstances, rescue you from your pain, or maybe even rescue you from yourself. However, this story in our passage today reminds us that we have not been left to fend for ourselves. We have not been left to fend for ourselves. And we have not been left to fall into despair in the midst of our waiting. Rather, God himself came to dwell with us in the incarnation of Jesus Christ. God came to dwell with us in Christ. God came to accomplish all he promised to Simeon, you and me, in Jesus, the God-man. Therefore, we can have confidence in God's faithfulness towards us in the midst of our waiting. Our confidence comes not from the speed with which God acts in our lives or how quickly he addresses the things that we are waiting for, but rather our confidence comes in the mystery of the incarnation of Jesus Christ. It is in this mystery of the incarnation that Simeon gazed upon as he held this child in his arms. It is to this person, Jesus, that we are to direct our gaze and to know that God comes to us even as we wait. But it's not just confidence in God's faithfulness to us that's provided for us in this account and in the incarnation of Jesus Christ, but also in the midst of our waiting, we have a sure hope. We have a hope that does not depend on our circumstances or our situation, but rather a hope that rests in a person, in Jesus himself. This Christmas season is a celebration of what God has done in sending his Son, Jesus Christ. But it's also a stark reminder to us that we are also those who are waiting. We are those who are waiting for Christ to return and to set things new again. And so it should be of no surprise that we find ourselves in this tension. On this side of the new heavens and the new earth, we will always experience the not yet of life. Yet in Christ, we have received a sure deposit of hope that what Christ accomplished, he will bring to completion. Our hope in the incarnation is that what Christ came and did in his person, he will bring to completion to us. It is the hope we find in the incarnate Christ that sustains us in the midst of our waiting. You see, we're not much different from Simeon in this passage. We too, like Simeon, are waiting and sit in the tension of waiting brings. Yet, like Simeon, God gives us a hope that does not leave us waiting in vain. We can be confident that God will be faithful to us even in our waiting, as he was to Simeon. Even in the midst of our waiting, we who have received Christ can, like Simeon, depart in peace and be freed from our anxious worries in the midst of our waiting. And instead, this confidence and this hope in the coming of Christ leads us to wait in joyful anticipation, to wait for Christ joyfully. Like Simeon, this joyful anticipation leads us to praise God for his faithfulness towards us, even as we wait for him. It is this joy that Simeon was filled with. And in the midst of our waiting, even though it is difficult and tiring, it is this joy and this confidence that we have been given in Christ that, like Simeon, we can pray this simple hymn to him and know that although we worry and we wait for him, that we can be freed from that because of Christ and who he is. We in the name of the Father, and the Son, and in the Holy Spirit, amen. Gracious Father, we thank you for this passage, this account from Luke, the reminder of our hope that is in Christ, the reminder that you have come to us and you have not left us or forsaken us. And gracious Father, just like Simeon, we can be confident of your faithfulness towards us in Christ. And Lord, I pray for us today as we go into a new year that you remind us of our confidence and our faithfulness, that of your faithfulness to us. We pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us stand and continue worshiping him and giving him praise. Our hymn, O Come, All Ye Faithful, comes from selection 208.